philosophies in my experience and my experiment.
Oh, fair warning. Today's episode will be a shit show of epic proportions, likely. I am really just all over the place today. I'm all the anxiety with a little bit of rage. Oh, I'm just, yeah. Oh, God, it's just a hard day so far. Today is Monday, and it's the first day that Mabel has been able to go to school for 6 weeks. So I've dropped her off, which was kind of bittersweet because having her home has been a bit of a distraction from everything that's been going on. You know, like I haven't had time to just sit and feel. I've been distracted. And yeah, and so, I mean, I've still had big feelings and stuff, but just, yeah, they're not as overwhelming as they're feeling right now. So, where do I even start? On last Friday, so today's Monday, what's that, like 3 or 4 days ago, I got a call from the hospital to let us know that there was a date for Miko's surgery, a potential date of this Friday. And we needed to get the dental sign off in order for it to be cool. And Miko was on his way to the dentist and we hadn't really foreseen any issues there. So I was just so excited. And the other issue was the border. They had to get permission for Miko to come across. And she had said, look, that's probably the main concern. But, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with this, you know, restrictions, regional New South Wales restrictions, and whether or not they'll put the border bubble back in place, you know. So the announcement was that regional New South Wales was out of lockdown, which includes us. And later on, like, you know, an hour after, it was announced that the border bubble would be back in place for essential work and healthcare. So I'm like beside myself with like relief, just like, oh, it's nearly over. We're nearly there. So I rang everyone. Oh, well, Mum, Miko's sister, you know, sister-in-law. Oh, just, and I was just so ecstatic because it was like, finally, it would mean that if everything went well, Miko would be home and, you know, like recovered for Christmas. And that's really what I most want, right? So that afternoon he goes to the dentist and the dentist signs off, sends it through. I'm like ecstatic. And then I get a call from Miko saying that the dentist isn't sure of something, they've just got to check. So basically, because his tooth was only pulled out a week ago, last Friday, it hasn't healed properly. Because, I mean, it was a 3-hour fucking dental, you know, surgery that was pretty full on. And, you know, and it's healing well, but it hasn't healed properly or fully. And so no dental sign off. So they have, and this just brings up all the feels, right? Oh, but they have kept him penciled in and he has to go back to the dentist on Wednesday to get final sign off. But I don't know if it's going to be healed or not. And it's just so disappointing. It's so disappointing. and it's just that waiting still, right? Like, now we're back in this limbo of not knowing, and it's incredibly difficult to handle. And rage-inducing, because he sat around for a month when we first found this out, you know, and he could have had that work done then. It was so difficult because dentists are closed during lockdown. So, you know, it's just lucky that we had connections to be able to get this done. But had it been done 3 months ago when we found out, there would be no questions. You know, like, why wait until, you know, 4 weeks before a surgery to tell us that you may need major dental work done? And the thing is that, like, this, like, heart issues often mean that the person will have some form of dental work needed, because they are linked in some way. So now I'm just back in limbo, waiting till Wednesday to find out whether or not he'll be in surgery or how much longer we'll have to wait. And part of me is just absolutely devastated. And then I remind myself, well, we're closer than we were this time last Thursday. You know, we didn't know when it was going to happen. And, you know, and now we still don't. And that's the hardest thing, I think. So I'm just like, I'm all the emotions. And then sending the kid off to school, not having the distraction it's just full on. And then on top of that, like, I've had a few, like, just, it's so, like, sometimes I have a completely open head in human design. Oh, and that's another thing I need to tell you. So this is unrelated and it's actually quite good, but it's not, you know, part of the big feels that I'm experiencing at the moment. Pardon me. I started a new Instagram account called @CarlosophiesHD, and it's a place, I just felt like I needed to have a place for me to explore, you know, my human design experiment a bit more and share more stuff. And it just felt like my normal Instagram account. I don't want it to be all about human design, because a lot of people are here for different things. Like, right now it's just kind of personal updates with a rant every now and then here, and actually probably on my Instagram. But you know, usually it's a place of talking about creativity and expression and stuff, and so I want it to remain that. And yeah, that is connected to human design too, but I just feel like I needed a separate container where I could have these kind of conversations around human design, that, so I don't, you know, I don't know, like, that a lot of people aren't really interested in, but a few are, you know. And I want to create something a bit deeper, a deeper experience when it comes to sharing my own experience and, you know, knowledge of human design. So I've created this new Instagram account. It's called CarlosophiesHD. But, you know, like, in human design, I have a completely open head, and sometimes I don't know what to focus on. And so, you know, what's important. And I found myself really swimming around, because that is what the open head does. We swim up there in our thoughts. You know, I've had a few, you know, over the last little while since I started talking about the importance of having the vaccine and, like, calling out a bit of the bullshit that I see and hear, and the hypocrisy, I've lost a few people, you know. And and that's cool, because, like, whatever, and I've also unfriended and blocked people too, right? Like, it's fine. But some of them, stupidly, I thought, oh, you know, there's people who were usually really engaged, and I noticed they hadn't been watching my stories or anything, and I thought, oh, see, you know, where they're at, and they've, you know, unfollowed me and unfriended me on Facebook, and that just made me go into a whirlwind of like over analyzing why that might be and waking up in the middle of the night thinking about it. And like it's like when I think, I don't know, it's just, it's been really, I've just been overthinking it. And really, to be honest, if someone can't see that I am in a world of pain right now, and, you know, can't, I don't know, like, and I know, it, like, it's kind of, I feel like I'm being a hypocrite now too, because I see a lot of people in a world of pain right now, and I think that's what's behind this, all this stuff around, you know, tyranny and all the anti-vax information and the skewing of, like, or misrepresentation of data. And, you know, and like, it's easy for us to form, I don't know, well, I guess it's easy for us to be taken down a rabbit hole when we're experiencing trauma, and we all are. And I feel like for me, there's just this added layer, right? And another layer of trauma when you have been living in constant anxiety for 3 months, worrying that your partner's going to drop dead. And just, you know, like living in the, and then so that has led me to be really sensitive about this spreading of misinformation, which impacts people in vaccine hesitancy, which has a direct impact on me, you know. And I think about, and then, like, you know, all the whole underlying health conditions bullshit, you know. It's like I was prior to going into lockdown, I was in a group setting, and I heard, you know, someone who was in a group with me talking to their friend about how, you know, like the anti-mask stuff, and like, why don't we just let it sweep through? Like, is losing our economy worth a bunch of elderly people? And I'm dumbfounded by stuff like that, because it's so misinformed. It's not just elderly people, right? And even if it was, that's just a vast disrespect of human life. You know, if you want to talk about, you want to liken your situation in being controlled to Nazi Germany, I think we would look at that in a different light when you say things like, just let it rip through and kill those. You know, like, that's, it's a complete contradiction. So it just, I know, it just has really hurt. Oh, hello, you made it. My dog, he's very slow at the moment. So I just, I don't know, it's just every, because here's the thing, right? 1.3% of the population have Mikko's condition, and the vast majority of them are completely unaware. Completely unaware they have a bicuspid valve until they have a major heart episode. We're just lucky we found it early, right? So we could deal with it. But most people do not have, you know, they don't have any awareness that they have this condition. And that is considered an underlying health condition. Just because you didn't know about it doesn't mean that it wasn't an underlying condition, right? So when we read, you know, woman in her 40s dies and has an underlying health condition, it could be that she has a bicuspid valve like Mikko, or, you know, or some underlying condition that she has no awareness of and is otherwise completely fit or healthy, you know? So all of this stuff that, you know, whenever I see this stuff twisted in a way that is about personal freedom, it actually physically hurts me at the moment. And that is because it feels deeply disrespectful to, yeah, like Miko, my partner of 18 years. You know, his life is worth, what, nothing? Because of a vaccine, right? Oh, it's just, yeah, it's just been really, really a very difficult time. And then when I've had friends unfriend me because of that, it just hurts really deeply because, like, I know I'm kind of a bit insensitive at the moment and maybe a little bit too outspoken or something, I don't know. But like, if you can't be here and see the pain that I'm in, then, you know, like, I don't know, it just, and it feels ironic when, I don't know, like when it's coming from places where, you know, it's like, well, you know, we've got to have compassion for everyone, compassion, compassion. But like when you pick and choose where the compassion you place is, that's bullshit. You know, have compassion for people who have trauma from the lockdowns. Yeah, I do. I do. I know how difficult it is. I know what it's like to run a failing business. That, you know, I know what it's like not to know how I'm going to pay rent. You know, I know how that feels. It's fucking terrible and it is trauma inducing. You know, I'm still processing stuff from my co-working space failure. You know, it's really something that leaves a scar. And so, yeah, like I get that everyone's coming from their pain right now. Well, not everyone, but a lot of people. And I don't know, for me, it's also okay for me to be hurt when my partner's life is on the line. You know, and for me, that just brings ultimate clarity because it's often not until we're faced with ours or our loved one's mortality that shit gets real, right? Shit gets real and it gets real fucking quick and you do what's required and, you know, and you focus on what's important. And then, yeah, my open head just takes me on these little rabbit holes every now and then of overthinking why someone might have defriended me and feeling guilt and stuff around that. Like, that's not what I need to be feeling right now. You know, it's not even mine. I'm not even going to carry that shit. But the thing is, I'm so fucking empathetic that I do carry it. And I feel guilty for, like, having said something that's made someone, you know, like, feel bad enough that they would defriend me. That I feel that. And it's very difficult, to, like, separate it. So, yeah, it's fucked and it's not what I need to be focused on right now. It's not a welcome distraction from the rest of my life. It's actually just really deeply painful. So, yeah, this is where I'm at and I'm all the feels and I'm angry and hurt and in this moment, right? Like in this moment and then I'm good for a bit. And I come back to, yeah, you know, like we're still further ahead than we were last Thursday. And we got this before he had a major heart episode, you know, that we didn't even know about it, you know. It just, yeah. Oh, it's really hard. This is really hard. So, if you do want to join me on my new Instagram account, I'd love to have you there. I don't know, you know, what's going to happen in the short term there. I've always said to myself, because I've wanted to do this for a really long time, but the timing wasn't right. And the spleen is all about timing. And then, you know, it just kind of said, let's do it. So I've done it, but I'm also promised myself, or haven't promised myself, but I've, you know, basically I'm not going to force myself to show up there and force myself to create content. I'm really going to do it when I feel cold, when I feel the pull, you know, when I feel the ping, go and do it. And in the rest of the time, you know, I might not post anything there. But if you're interested in coming along on that journey, then it's at Carlosophies HD. And I've been doing a session a day for nearly a month, and I've got a few kind of squished in this week because I don't know what's happening after Wednesday. I'm all the feels, because on top of this, when the surgery comes closer, so does anxiety around the, like, it's huge, right? Like, they're going to saw open his sternum and stop his heart, and it's very, like, yes, it's a common procedure, but it's also very high risk when high risk. It's not like, not high risk in terms of percentages of people who survive the surgery and that, but like, anytime you're stopping someone's heart, it's a big deal. It's a fucking big surgery. And so the closer we get, the more real that becomes too. And the, you know, like, it's, yeah, it's anxiety on all sides. And yeah, it's hard. It's a hard ride to be on. And sometimes I just want off it, you know, like, I really just want to be on the other side of this. I really do. But I can't get off it, so I've just got to go with the waves. Enjoy the ride. Not enjoy it, but, you know, I can't, there's no escaping it, so find some acceptance for it. Anyway, that's it from me today. I would really appreciate all your good vibes my way for the next little while. And send me your love. Okay, until next week, peace out.
Carlosophies, I'm Carly Nimmo.